All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, okay. Hats and video game characters are not just for Kid Chameleon anymore.
Okay.
Everywhere you look, it seems like a video game character has a hat.
I mean, you got to sell them. It's got to be either DLC or it needs to be like a pre-order throw-in. Mm-hmm. Watch Dogs, Aiden's iconic black cap.
You get iconic caps. You get Mario's hat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all kind of that. So I have a big pile here of all the video game hats.
Oh.
And everything. And we're going to close our eyes and reach in and pull out a hat. You've heard of pulling a rabbit out of a hat. How about pulling a hat out of hats?
A hat out of a rabbit. Good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no rabbit here. Mm. But if you, whatever you do in your spare time, it's fine with me.
Yeah.
So go ahead and put on this blindfold.
Okay. All right. And then I just reach into this big pile of hats.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, God. Ow. A lot of these are really spiky.
Ugh. Why'd you grab that one?
Wait, let me take off the... It's a red
Confederate flag.
Ugh.
Okay.
No, I didn't mean to do that.
Okay, why?
I was a blindfold. Gary, you're not gonna cancel me for randomly grabbing a Confederate hat.
You're the one I'm taking pictures of holding a Confederate hat.
God damn it.
I know. But I can't think of a video game character that wears a Confederate hat.
No.
Let me look in the computer at the game database here.
Okay. Game computer.
Oh, Dangerous Dave. Risky Rescue. Uh-oh. This about mole children? Like. My name is Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, where we will never play Kingdom Hearts, no matter how many times you ask.
Yeah. And this week we got a random one. This is Dangerous Dave's Risky Rescue, which was put into the randomization machine by our buddy Sam, who said, let me see here. Here's some people who know how to make a game, intentionally breaking the rules. At this point, I'll take it.
For a while, I thought this was something really bad. Because red hat.
Red hat. You don't get a good red hat.
Not anymore. Bart Simpson?
Come on. Damn it. we both said that at the same time.
And it looks like it's gonna be bad. When you look at the title screen, you look at Dangerous Dave. He's got that shitty-eating grin and a shotgun. Mm. It really feels like Dangerous Dave's off to, like, I don't know, go guard a voting booth or something like horrible.
Yeah. He's off to go join ICE. And like the game warns you, it says like, oh, warning.
Yeah.
Dark humor ahead or something like that.
And then this ends up being really quaint.
Yes.
And made by good game designers.
Yeah. John Romero.
Yeah, the John Romero game. The story of Dangerous Dave is interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, starting out as just a PC platformer, and then eventually this is the game that they use for their Super Mario 3 demo.
Yeah.
The story of that being really fun and cute. Mm-hmm. Just staying up all night being like, hey, we could probably make the first level of Super Mario 3, and then spending 6 hours doing it.
Yeah.
Making smooth scrolling on the PC for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo said no because they're fools, and then they decided to make their own games.
Yes. That debuted in Dangerous Dave in copyright infringement.
Yeah. The title screen of that's very cute. Mm-hmm. Dangerous Dave, and there's a little barrister looking at him all angry. It's just the first level of Super Mario 3.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, if you don't if you don't know any of that coming in, but you have played previous id games, the first time you jump, you realize, oh shit, that's at least here. It's Commander Keen. But they're using Commander Keen jump physics.
And now looking at it, I owe you an apology. Dangerous Dave is wearing an American flag hat, not a Confederate flag hat.
Oh, well, that's good.
Based on this picture I've looked up.
Marginally better.
I could have swore I remembered a Confederate flag hat.
Okay.
And it could be in the actual emulator. Right now I'm looking at a website. DangerousDave.com/saga. So it shows an American flag out. So if I'm wrong, I owe an apology to Dangerous Dave.
It might be because like on archive, there's a CD version.
Yeah.
And there's a DOS version. I played the DOS version. I can't remember if there was a Confederate hat or not, but that might be
a version control thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a whole series of Commander Keen alikes, mm-hmm. except for like a guy. And at first, you know, when I thought this was going to be gross as a thing, I was like, okay, you know, I didn't get very far in it. I looked at a YouTube and I was like, okay, you know, you're probably going to do something really disgusting, like shoot up Columbine in this because caution, dark humor, you know, 90s. No, you go fight Dr. Mobius. It's like, I love when something looks like it's going to be really dark and edgy, and then you scroll forward in the YouTube and you're in a castle and it says like, get the wizard's key or something like that. It's really pure.
You're at least in this one, you're fighting the end boss of Catacomb 3D, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Very sweet. Mm-hmm. In terms of it being like, I think it is interesting looking at the difference between PC and console platformers. Mm-hmm. Like PC platformers are worse, but I think they're interesting, you know, evolution paths.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm glad we did a Commander Keen game. I think they're kind of neat. Mm-hmm. But I don't need more than one, really.
Like, yeah.
Commander Keen and Jazz Jackrabbit, I'm pretty much good.
Yeah. Get out of here, Scunny.
Yeah. I don't really care about Scunny.
No.
You know, hard to care about Scunny.
Yeah. But yeah, he's like a coded as a redneck guy. You start out in the woods, getting out of your red pickup truck. You have a shotgun, which doesn't do anything against the first enemy you're going to run into, the hellhound.
Yeah, seems like a mistake.
You got to go up in the trees. Like, this is of the vintage of PC games where like the developers would give you a hint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
Says go out on a limb. Yeah.
In addition to it being a John Romero game, this is a Tom Hall game, and I'm always interested in Tom Hall.
Tom Hall is too pure for this world, it seems.
Yeah. Like, maybe just by comparison.
Yes.
You know, but you have like John Romero, who's going to make us his bitch, and then you have, you know, John Carmack, who has bad politics and is a human computer. Yeah. And then you have Tom Hall just being there like, I just want to do lore. What's Commander Keen up to? And like, that's very sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, I didn't get very far in this, because it's really, really hard. I kept falling down and getting ate up by the hellhound. Something that would have made me lose my shit though, back in the day. And this is the same session where we, talked about Mortal Kombat 2. Every enemy, when it kills you, you get a little cut in close up animation of Dave dying a horrible, bloody death.
Yeah. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
It's Dr. Nemesis. You find Dr. Mobius here. Yeah, I love that quite a bit. There's also like, there's not a whole lot about this that we can find. Like, this is, we're gonna have to find a digression pretty quick. I'm stalling.
Yeah.
But like, one of the things that, you know, reading between the lines, so this game, Risky Rescue, was reviewed in Dragon Magazine, The Role of Computers, Sandy Peterson's column. Their Eye of the Monitor, it was called at the time. And Sandy Peterson gave it 2 out of 5 stars. I wonder if there was bad blood there.
I don't know.
You know, since they had both worked for id and everything.
Yeah.
And Sandy Peterson has been feuding with John Romero on Twitter for like ever.
Yeah.
They do not get along. I wonder if it was just like, yeah, fuck this game.
Maybe.
Fuck you.
I don't know. That sounds like a real conflict of interest.
Yeah.
Dragon Magazine probably ought to straighten that out.
Yeah. Well, let them get on it. I think I have Dragon Magazine number 200. I should find this.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
This was after Doom. Was this between Doom 1 and 2?
This came out in
1993.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, right around Doom 1, huh?
No. Hard to compete with Doom in terms of how this looks and everything.
Yeah,
like, no. Like, hard for this to really stand out, I feel like.
Yeah. Just of an older time. There were also versions of these that were presented. So the first one was like presented as in a magazine as like a sample like basic program for GRA basic. So this was a game you could like put together yourself out of parts that you got in a magazine.
Love it.
Yeah.
Like, also a thing that I we need to get back.
Mm-hmm.
And it came back, apparently. Like, when I found the Saga website, Dangerous Dave has come back. There is an iOS mobile desktop and mobile, Dangerous Dave, The Legend Returns.
Yeah.
Here. And if you click on the team page of that, the array of pictures you get is very funny for this, because it starts off as like dev pictures. And then there's a picture of like a dog and somebody playing a black and white like stringed instrument, and then a very young kid, and then another like dev picture, but it looks like a LinkedIn picture.
I'm into it. This is neat. Under team is what it is. Yeah, there we are. That's a good dog right there.
John Romero is involved in it again. So I don't know who that tiny little kid is. Oh, that's a Donovan Romero Braithwaite. Watch out for this up and coming game designer. Donovan has designed the first commercial release, Gunman Taco Truck, and lends his testing skills to the team to ensure Dave is rock solid for you. Aw,
that is adorable.
Yeah.
I also like that he is given billing above Michael Romero.
Yeah, take that, Michael Romero. Well, Michael Romero did not understand the assignment for this picture.
No,
like
Michael Romero came here with a LinkedIn profile pic.
It's one of the most LinkedIn pictures I've ever seen in my life. It's no good.
Kind of like right down to the DreamWorks face too.
Yeah,
he's got one eyebrow way up.
It's rough. Yeah, dislike. But yeah, cute. I had no idea this was coming back. I had no idea this existed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's all new to me.
Didn't realize it was here in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sucks that red hats have been ruined.
I know, right?
Like an entire color and an entire article of clothing is just gone now.
Can't do it. And every attempt to like try and do like a reappropriation of it or like a parody of it, it just looks like a MAGA hat.
Yeah.
Like, remember that one year at Midwest Gaming Classic when there was
Make Konami Great Again.
Make Konami Great Again. People walking around with those. And it's like, I don't know, my like lizard brain, like just danger or not danger heuristic is not going to read the fine text. It's not going to see Konami written out on there. No.
In Greenland, they also have these Make America Go Away hats.
Yes.
And they look the same. And like, yeah, the sentiment, yeah, make us go away. But also like, again...
Yeah.
Think about the optics.
Can't do it.
Yeah. No good. Mm-hmm. Just, things get ruined.
Yeah.
It's, that's okay. That's what it means now.
Just
setting out drift.
It's just what it is. And it's been that way for a decade. And the longer it stays that way, the longer it's going to take to go back. There are plenty of other colors of hats. There are other kinds of hats to wear too.
There are other articles of clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you want to wear red, you have many options other than hats. Let's count them.
I'll wear a red shirt. Come on.
Get a red shirt. That's new.
Okay, I know,
red
right?
shirts now. Yeah. I get a red shirt. Get red pants.
Well, yeah, that's what you put on when you don't want your men to get demoralized if you get struck.
Yeah, or the red pants if you're going to ship blood. You have red socks. That's a good team. Uh-huh. You get red shoes. You get good diaries there.
Mm-hmm.
And you red underwear.
Uh-huh.
That signals that it's time for business. You know?
Yeah. I don't know that I can keep doing this inventory of red.
I have a pair of red glasses.
You do? Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah.
Those look pretty sick. There's a lot of red that you can do. Magneto. Mm-hmm. Like, there's all kinds of things you can do.
Oh, Magneto's red and purple. That's a good combination.
It's a great combination. And he technically wears a red hat.
Yeah.
But it looks so much better. Like, I'm really glad that MAGA did not get Magneto helmets that they put that on. That would fucking piss me off. First of all, we couldn't psychically dominate them. Uh-huh. And second of all, it would ruin that Magneto helmet for me.
I just found out that Magneto's hat keeps Charles out. Mm-hmm. Was made up for the fucking movie.
I'm thinking about that. I feel like that's not true.
Okay.
Where'd you find that out from?
I just,
who's talking to you about X-Men shit that isn't me?
Are you getting jealous?
No, I'm curious because I feel I'd seen that in the comics, but I'm not.
I just fucking read it. I just fucking read it somewhere. I don't know. I just it's a thought that I came across that I have no attribution for.
I feel like that may not be true. I could be wrong.
Okay,
but I feel like that happened before then.
Did I just nerd snipe you? Are you gonna? No, is this gonna twist you up for the rest of the episode?
You certainly didn't nerd snipe me. They, in order to attack him in the Fatal Attractions crossover in 1993, his hat has to be taken off.
Okay.
Before he can do that, so it was not made up for the movie. Whoever that person is on Blue Sky, block them.
Okay.
Because they're going to tell you a lot of false things about the X-Men movie.
Okay.
Yeah. I was just searching my memories for that. Real clever use of that in New X-Men, where Quentin Quire puts it on Professor X to keep Professor X from thinking outward.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Yeah. I do remember that. God, that's a good run. That's a good run.
Great run.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am naturally immune to psychic stuff. Nobody's done it to me yet.
You sure?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't have a yes and. I don't find psychic powers to be that interesting, actually.
They would be cool to have, you know?
Yeah.
I've thought about that before, like, without getting into, like, keep it light, you know, we don't need to get into total bummer territory, but in real life, Professor Xavier does have a moral duty to fix the world.
Yes.
And if I had that power, I would also have that moral duty. Mm-hmm. And I can think of how I might do it.
Yeah.
You know?
There are some basic ideas. There's no, you know, your obligation. Okay, I was about to say, your obligation is the result, not the way you get there, which is how monsters are made.
Yeah.
So,
but it's a continuum.
It's a start.
Yeah, yeah. It's a start. It's a little bit of a continuum, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if no ends ever justified any means, mm-hmm. a lot of things wouldn't happen.
Like, yeah.
That is not quite a truism. People say it is, but like, we get food. The ends for that is, or the means for that is factory farm torture.
Yes.
And we all, you know, anybody who's eating meat implicitly does believe those ends justify those means. Like,
yeah.
That is not a hard and fast rule.
Yeah. You know, I'd like telepathy comes with so many ethical concerns. Mm-hmm. I prefer just the simplicity of telekinesis. Telekinesis has always been fun to me.
I think telekinesis would be really cool.
Yeah.
Harder to fix the world with.
Yes, but it would solve a lot of problems for me.
What kind of problems? Let's say you get telekinesis, like, after this recording.
Okay, so like,
what's the first thing you do?
Well, I Gary, picture that there's something across the room.
Okay.
And I'm sitting down. I want that thing. I mm-hmm. wouldn't have to get up.
But you'd have to get up. I did a little move I've been working on.
With telekinesis, you could figure out how to fly. I think that mm-hmm. I think that would be pretty cool. I just think that you know, with properly practiced telekinesis, having an extra set of hands unlocks a lot of stuff, and also
you can Gordon Keenan's floating disc.
Yes. Basically, that's what I want. And the process of moving right now, Gary, I would fucking strangle. I would strangle everybody. I would strangle you for Morgan Cain's floating disc.
To get that turtle treasure out of my brain.
Yeah.
To get the crystal that I dropped like Final Fantasy Tactics. gives you that ability. Using it for moving would be useful.
Yeah.
I get tired moving things with my meat body.
Mm-hmm.
It would be cool. I'm not saying I would turn it down.
Yeah. It's no teleportation. Like, it's no teleportation and it's no shape-shifting, right?
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Like, we've talked about power tiers before on this, but not in a while.
Yes.
What would you do? Like, what would you do with those? Like, I've thought about teleportation before as a cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've tried to think about, like, what I would do with it. And the answer is not much. Like, if I could travel long distances... Mm-hmm. You know, without paying and stuff, I could just like eat at a restaurant I like in another city. That'd be cool.
Yeah. But just, you know, like, even with the limitation of like, I have to have seen the place in order to get there, like mm-hmm. that would still be really neat, I think.
It would save me a lot of airplane shit, which I like.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be empowering, I guess. I would just go there and like eat at restaurants and go to museums and stuff, which would be cool.
Yeah.
I would just do things I can do now, but faster.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I just think it would be really satisfying. I think that, like, regardless of what happens when you're in between, like, I've got no idea if you're in hell, if you're in hell realm or not.
Yeah.
I just make a copy and, like, the old me is dead.
That's a good idea for, like, a Warren Ellis-esque superpower.
Yeah. Just choking the world with my rotting corpses.
Yeah. The swapper.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It might feel good.
Yeah, I think it would feel great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like I don't know. I think that it would you could use it to see your friends more. I think
that's true.
Getting around, like, so much of your life is spent in between places. I think that it just as a casual everyday thing, it would save a lot of time.
It would be neat. Like, yeah. I wouldn't turn it down. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty fixated on fixing the world if I had superhuman abilities, but that's just getting the 2026 of it all.
Yeah.
You know, and it would be difficult to do with that, but I could probably imagine a way to do it and get shot.
Yeah. I guess my question, because you're kind of lukewarm on any of my suggestions of powers that I think could be cool. Like, what would actually help you save the world? Like what power?
Like Professor X telepathy. Like, he can read minds, but he can also just influence them. Mm-hmm. And then I've thought about before, word of God kind of thing, like in Preacher. Like, people, if you choose to inflect your voice in a certain way, people have to do what you say.
Like a Bene Gesserit voice thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
You unleash the Bene Gesserit voice. I would enjoy that. I feel like I could make a lot of things happen with that.
Mm-hmm. Man, that gets into mind control real quick.
Like, it does, but I don't care. It'd be worth it. Like, again, sometimes think about these ends. You're so concerned with the means, you haven't thought about the ends.
Yeah. If somebody really earned it, but I worry. You know, like, I worry about the drift of who deserves it.
Oh, not like, for me.
You know?
I understand what you mean. I worry about somebody else having that power, but I could be trusted.
Well, obviously I could be trusted, but
yeah. Like, I wouldn't want anyone else to have it. Same thing with the One Ring. Like, again, I've said it before, skill issue. Like, I could handle the One Ring.
Yeah.
No problem. Oh, evil ring? Fuck it. I don't care. You're not going to make me do something I don't want to do.
The thing that I worry about is becoming so reliant on it. It's kind of like if you get a cheat code in a game, it makes it less interesting to play.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
like,
true.
I worry about the horrible ennui of getting everything you want with no consequences.
The first time you use it for convenience would be a real problem.
Yeah, that's breaking the seal right there.
I think that applies to a lot of these, though. Like, the first time you teleport just for convenience, not to, like, go visit somebody, like, there goes exercise.
Yeah.
You know, and the first time you use telekinesis to lift something, there goes all of your muscle. Like, you're going to atrophy.
Yeah.
You know, turn into one of the Spice Guys. There are a lot of Dune references for this.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of them, you know, when you start doing something supernaturally that you could do naturally, you do lose a little bit.
Yeah. Just, you need an effort to maintain your humanity, I think.
Yeah. You need a Professor X.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need somebody there to, like, encourage you.
Gary, come on. You need Professor X. Yes. Mm-hmm. But Professor X himself has gone off the deep end so many fucking times. I don't know X-Men, and even I know that.
Yes. It's also in the, like, 80-year history of it, though. Of, you know, in general, I think he's on the up and up.
Like,
The popular consensus is that he's always a monster, but it depends on the writer.
It depends
and
on the
most of the time he's good.
Depends on the writer, depends on the run. I'm just going to doubt.
Yeah. Who would be Martin Luther King? Who would be the person you'd want to have train you to use teleportation? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Mike Mills?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, Professor Mills? The only reason why I haven't gotten mad with power is because REM is coaching me.
Yep. Yeah. I need all of them. Just all of them to consult. Yeah.
That'd be great. Bill Barry comes off the farm.
I could run tapes between them. Yeah. That'd be fine. That'd be perfectly fine. Yeah.
Or you get a different REM member for every power. You know, like Stipe teaches you about telepathy. Mike Knowles teaches you about teleportation.
It's like how Henry Rollins trains you in move, like the different wrestling moves in Def Jam Fight for New York.
Yeah, you get a specialist.
Yeah,
to kind of do this. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. I feel like as a moral hazard, teleportation presents fewer opportunities to become a true monster. You can think of them, obviously, but there is nothing as tempting or inherently evil as tampering with free will with teleportation.
Yeah, probably not. I just wouldn't become a monster, though. Like, again, I understand what you're saying. In the rules of fiction, yes.
Yes.
In reality, though, I can handle it. Same way we should go back in time and kill Hitler. The rules of fiction, that's bad, but in real life, fucking A.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we do it? Give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Save a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know? It seems worth it to me, just because some sci-fi writer said it's not. Why should we believe that?
Yeah.
Like,
as fun as shape-shifting would be, that also is inherently deceptive.
It's super deceptive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also like there's limits there. Are you going to be able to do like animalities, or is it just going to be Mystique?
Right.
You know, yeah. And that makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into like, if you're an animal, do you have the mind of that animal? Because then you know to change back. Like you turn into a cat and you're like, fuck, I don't know how to change back.
Timcat. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Turn into Timcat.
Or Tiger Cop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking Tiger Cop. That's one of my favorite jokes.
It's great.
It's a Liar Town thing. Do a search for Liar Town.
I remember that. I've got the Liar Town book.
Oh, it's so good.
It's in there. Yeah. It's very funny. Yeah. I'm trying to the big, you know, I've been lukewarm on those because I'm concentrating on 2026-ness of it all.
Mm-hmm.
My true answer for the power that you've named that I am lukewarm on, and I understand I'm the outlier on this, is flying.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't really care about flying very much. No.
Will cares about it a lot. A lot of people will talk about flying. Like in the theoretical, people say like flying or invisibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always invisibility. I don't need to fly.
Same. Oh, we've had this conversation before, but I think it's important to reiterate it. Yeah.
You need so many bugs.
Yeah. it's cold up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eat bugs, be cold. And you'd have the thing, like right now in this period in Portland, it's kind of cold outside, but not very cold.
Mm-hmm.
So you bundle up to go outside, but then as soon as you get into a bus or a store, they have the heat blasting.
Yeah.
It'd be like that anytime you went anywhere. You put on all your clothes, you put on a scarf to go fly around. And then when you land, you'd be like, fuck.
Yeah.
And you just start sweating, you know, you'd stink all the time, like sweat.
Yeah. No, it'd be terrible.
Yeah. None of that. Yeah, couldn't do anything with flying.
No, none at all.
No. Zip around. And also, like, if you learn to swim, that's kind of the same, it feels like. Right? Like, you still move around in three dimensions like that.
So, like, learning to... Sorry. If you know how to swim, you basically know how to fly.
Yeah, in water. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, similar sensation. Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that.
Okay.
As being similar.
Yeah. I don't know. So, like, the 2026-ness of it all is really... It's frustrating because there are jokes and things you can say that are true that you would feel that would get a visit from all of the police.
Nobody can say everything they think right now.
No. And it's the first time in my life that I've really felt that, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it used to be fun to post the picture of Trevor Moore from that one sketch. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Like can't do it. Yeah. Won't feel it more than ever. Can't.
Yeah. You know, and it may not happen. It doesn't necessarily mean that doing it will get you drone striked, but it's not worth the risk now.
No. Like
previous time, you know. This time, the ends are not worth the means.
No.
For once. That sucks. It's also a sneaky way in which the 2026-ness of it all takes the fun out of things.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, in a perfect world, we'd be talking about, having these powers because we'd be like, oh, you could fly. We could, like, throw a frisbee around. Mm-hmm. Be fucking sick. We'd be able to see nature from cool angles.
Yeah.
But now the idea of having any kind of moral responsibility is too heavy in my head.
It's one of the many ways in which Stephen Miller has made himself an inescapable part of my life.
Yeah.
Right? Like even just fucking invading and ruining my fantasies.
Yeah. Sucks. Yeah. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite jokes about superpower things is the Key and Peele vampire sketch. Do you know that one?
I don't remember that one.
It's Key, and he's a vampire, and he's in like, and it's very Interview with a Vampire. Okay. Like, it's all people dressed up like goth, and they're all like hissing and licking each other and stuff. And he's just like, man, what the fuck are you doing? Why do you keep hissing? And he goes, listen, I became a vampire to see what cars would look like in the future. Which I love that. Rather to see what future cars look like. Like, that's very funny to me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. In reality, the superpower that you need is to never sleep.
Yeah. Never sleep is real good.
Yeah. Well, not never sleep. Only sleep when you want to.
No, willing sleep, willing death.
Yes.
Yeah. You have power you can turn off.
Yep.
You need a control collar.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things about PC games of this vintage is exiting the game is a cheat code, according to GameFAQs. Caps lock plus Q will exit the game, and this is considered a cheat.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
But it's also like listed alongside free items, God mode, level warp.
I love free items.
Yeah.
God, I love to collect items in games, and when they're free, Yahtzee.
All the better.
Yeah. 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 But games you cannot close are very funny. This is really boring, but in Planescape, which we're doing, the launcher I'm doing with that with GOG, cannot really close it.
So it's just always open?
No, I can close it, but it's a pain in the ass. I mean, I have to like go to the task manager and shit.
Oh, yeah.
It won't just close. It slows down for some reason. I have to like force close it.
That's a bummer.
It sucks.
Yeah.
It's a big bummer.
I can't find a way to fit this joke into Real Itch Hours, so I will just say I keep on trying to go to the abyss in Planescape, but it keeps crashing the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
That's fun. Yeah. It's fun. Plays with the box. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're listening to this, tell us what superpower you would abuse and how.
Don't get the Discord subpoenaed.
Yeah, don't get us subpoenaed. Tell us by thinking it, and we'll see if we can pick it up if we're not wearing the helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah. What can people do?
People can support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. And when you're there, give us a few bucks a month. Get a ton of bonus content. Just years and years and years of bonus content that you can get in addition to things that are ongoing.
Yeah. Also, you know, so you get a bunch of episodes of this, and it might be a good time to listen to those back episodes, as we're going to have an episode we're going to miss for Kay's move.
Yes. Sorry. Just letting you know. I try my best to avoid it, but we're going to have a week off between this and,
yeah. Yeah, we've been crunching, but she's moving across country. It's hard.
Yeah.
While that week happens, listen to Unfilmable and Real Itch Hours. And if you're not a patron, listen to old episodes of Abject Suffering.
Mm-hmm.
There's old good ones.
Yeah.
There's some not so good ones. Maybe they're good now.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they've changed.
Yeah. There are premium ones that you haven't heard of. It's all there waiting for you.
Yeah. In either case, also rate and review us. Do share the word, subscribe, things like that, which help podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Tell your friends. And join us in thanking our producer, Gwen.
Thank you so much, Gwen.
Big thanks to Gwen. What can they do until next time?
Until next time, this has been Abject Suffering, where we dip nuggets you've never heard of into sauces you could never understand.
That's a good one.
I like that.
I like that one a lot. Thank you.